Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, go ahead and dial that number right now. Again, the number 844-322-2742. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Piper is here.
Hello.
You are listening to Basic Gospel. We certainly want to welcome our new listeners in the Atlanta, Georgia area on WDWD Faith Talk 590. For those listeners in Atlanta, we have a special website just for you. It is basicgospel.net/WDWD. We invite you to go there and take a look around. We also have a special offer for you. So we want to say thank you for letting us be a part of your daily listening. And we want you to be able to know us, so that's why we've created this website. Again, it's basicgospel.net/WDWD. Well, yesterday, Richard, we talked about this new covenant, the fact that Paul went out around the world on all three missionary journeys as a minister of the new covenant.
Yes.
Not of the law, but of the Spirit. Why? Because the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So when we read our Bibles, we see that our Bibles are divided into two parts. We've got the Old Testament or the First Testament, and then we have the New Testament or the New Testament, the Second Testament. So that's representative of the Old Covenant, which was a covenant that God made between himself and the people of Israel. And then there's a new covenant, and that new covenant is the covenant that we live in today as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, when did this new covenant take effect? Well, it took effect the moment that Jesus died, so some 2,000 years ago. So the new covenant didn't come on the scene at the birth of Christ. It came on the scene at the death of Christ.
Correct.
Now, the book of Hebrews explains that to us, and this is so vitally important for us to understand. It really answers a lot of questions that we will have about the Christian life. Are we under the old? Are we under the new? Is it a mixture of the two? And when you see how the Word of God explains it, you recognize that the old has been fulfilled. When Jesus died, he fulfilled that old covenant. And in his death, his blood ratified the new covenant. So that was a pivot point, as you described it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the place of change.
Yes.
We've even heard it said by friends of ours, the cross was the dividing line of human history.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the old came to an end and the new started. Well, in the book of Hebrews, starting in chapter 9, verse 15, the writer says this, therefore, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So in this new covenant is a promised eternal inheritance. That wasn't a part of the old covenant. This is part of the new. So if you're in Christ, you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have an eternal inheritance in this new covenant. Talk about good news.
Yes.
That's good news right there. In verse 16, he says this, for where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. So right here, he is distinguishing the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. The old covenant was like a contract. It was between two parties, and both parties had terms and agreements that they were to carry out. So God said, if you follow my commands and statutes, then I will be your God and you will be my people. So God had his part in that old covenant and the people had their part. Now, what the problem was with that old covenant is that the people could not live up to their end of the bargain. 3 weeks after they ratified that old covenant and it said to God, everything that you have commanded we will do, they violated commandment number one. They built, they forged a golden calf. They bowed down and worshiped it and said, you, O God, have delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians.
Yeah.
So they worshiped the very thing that they formed with their own hands, violation of commandment number one. So they did not keep their end of the bargain. That's why a new covenant was sought. And the prophet Jeremiah spoke of a new covenant, a time when a new covenant was going to be made. Well, that time happened at the cross of Jesus Christ. The night before, he said to his disciples, he raised the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. Well, this new covenant is not a contract. It's like a last will and testament. So it's God's will for you as a person. So when does a will go into effect? Only after the one who made it died. So there had to be a death, and that death had to be established. Well, Jesus died, and his death was established through the burial. His body was placed in a borrowed tomb, and a big stone was rolled in front of it. So they knew that Jesus had died. So that ushered in this new covenant. Now, in this new covenant, we have this wonderful promise that God remembers our sins no more. And that's what we find out in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 9. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So in this new covenant, we have total forgiveness of sins. That wasn't the case under the old covenant.
No.
They only received temporary, partial forgiveness, and as soon as the sacrifice was made by the priest on the Day of Atonement, and that sacrifice had been accepted, then the sin started to count up again, and they had to wait 365 days, or according to the Jewish calendar, how many days that was, before those sins could be atoned for again, and then they counted up. But as far as this new covenant is concerned, the sacrifice was made once. It cannot be repeated.
No.
It will never be repeated. And because of that sacrifice, we have total and complete and eternal forgiveness of sins. So what was the will of God for you? For your sins to be forgiven once and for all. When Jesus died and he ushered in this new covenant, that will of God went into effect on your behalf. The moment you received Jesus, that will of God for your sins to be forgiven became yours. Talk about good news.
Oh my!
That is good news. So if you would like to talk more about this new covenant that we live in today, if you have questions, if we live in the new, then what was the purpose of the old? If you have any questions such as that, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Well, we do have some calls on the line, but before we get to that, I want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on contributions from people all across America and really around the world to enable this broadcast to go out. And so this month we have a wonderful resource that we would like to put in your hands as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel. And it is a CD series entitled Resurrection Power. Now, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he raises us, and he comes to live inside of us, and this resurrection power is available to us. Now, you look across the world today, and you, especially here in America, and you think the Church of Jesus Christ is weak. It doesn't have its powerful place in the world that it once did. And I think one of the reasons is that we've lost connection to that resurrection power.
Absolutely.
That we've tried to do it on our own, and we've become frustrated, and we've become weak as far as modeling this life that God has given us in Christ. So it's time to reconnect to that resurrection power, and this resource will enable you to do it. If you would like a copy of it, go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and as you fill out the information about your gift that you would like to give this month, the Basic Gospel, be sure and request your copy of Resurrection Power, and we'll get that to you as quickly as we can. Also, you can dial your contribution in by calling 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, Richard, we had a call that came in from northern Alberta from Richard. Let's go and listen to that.
Hi, yeah, I'm Richard up in Fort McMurray in northern Alberta, and I listen to you guys all the time. Enjoy your ministry, and was listening to you talk tonight about good foundations and every man's work being tested with fire. And of course, love is the highest activity in the body of believers that we can ever pursue, especially that perfect love that loves even those who hate us. It's for the purpose, of course, of bringing about the presence of God in our lives. And so I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate your ministry and hope that God continues to do his good work in you. Thanks again. Bye.
Well, what a wonderful comment. And Richard, thank you really so much for taking the time to share those encouraging words. And he mentioned a great word there, foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the weaknesses of the church today is we've forgotten the foundation that our lives are to be built upon, and that's Jesus Christ himself and this new covenant. Those are the foundational truths. Paul said there's no other foundation that can be laid than the one that's already been laid, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. And the apostles simply built upon that foundation, and we have that opportunity to build upon that foundation of Christ as well. Why? Because everything about Christianity hinges on Jesus. If Jesus didn't come, if God did not send Jesus into this world, if Jesus didn't die on a cross, if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, then there is no such thing as Christianity. It would just be another religious system. But the fact is that Jesus did come. He inhabited a body that God had prepared for him, and he offered that body as a sacrifice for sins once for all. It wasn't to be repeated. It was going to secure eternal redemption, eternal salvation for all who came to him by faith. And for all who came to him by faith, then they receive the very life of Christ. Jesus is the gift of salvation. And when we have that foundation right, everything else falls into place. We can actually see growth in the grace of God and growth in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that growth comes transformation. We see our minds being renewed. So this is really a life that revolves around the story of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. So as that foundation gets secure in our lives, then we can see the reality of that story being lived out through us. And that's when Christianity gets exciting. So, Richard, we're so glad that the foundation has been laid in your life, that you're growing in the grace of God, and that you're encouraging others to do the same. And we certainly appreciate your kind words today, my friend. So I know yesterday we had a Facebook question from Tim, and it's a doozy.
It's a doozy.
Yes.
Would you like me to read
it? Yes, indeed.
Word for word. If God is not faulty and does not make mistakes, how do you explain Satan? If God knew before he even created Lucifer that he was going to go astray, that means he created Lucifer to take the fall.
interesting question.
It is.
And really, it's a question that's above all of our pay grades, because we just can't really get into the mind of God on all of those details and answer the why did he do it this way. What we do know is that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the very foundations of the world. So before he created anything, there was this plan that God was going to send Jesus, that Jesus was going to become one of us, and he was going to redeem us. He was going to set us free. So that plan, he knew that in creating the angelic world, and he certainly created the angelic world, especially Satan or Lucifer, at the time, with an opportunity to make some choices. But once that choice was made, then there was no going back. Lucifer became a fallen angel. He took the form of the serpent. He deceived man, Adam and Eve, and mankind took the fall, so to speak. But all of that did not thwart God's plan to redeem us in Christ Jesus. So the whys of all that, why did God create the angelic world? Well, he created the angelic world to be our servants, basically. They are messengers to be at God's beck and call to serve those who are going to inherit salvation. But there was a group that fell, their fate was secured, and that's their story eternally. But there's another group that didn't fall, Gabriel and those and those angels, and they are at God's beck and call to serve us in this great plan of salvation that was brought about in Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So, you know, did God create Satan to take the fall? No, that's not why he created Satan. He created Lucifer as a beautiful angel and with a purpose within his plan revolving around Christ. Satan wanted nothing to do with that. He chose his own fate. He was given the freedom to do that, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah. It's a tragic story.
It is a tragic
story. But I think we do ourselves great harm when we try to apply human logic to the eternal God. Because we always end up creating God in our own image, and that's not a good thing. Because if I look around the world today at how we do at managing things, I don't want a God in my image. I want a God that's different than me. Because in my image, I would make a hash of everything, just like we're doing now. We need someone superior to us, someone who doesn't answer to us, someone, honestly, that we can't understand in order to have the higher purpose that I think he designed us for.
Yes, indeed. Well, Tim, I hope that was helpful. Hope you're listening today. If you have further questions, feel free to post that on Facebook or call us at 844-322-2742. You're listening to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher here along with Richard Pfeiffer today, and we're going to go to Idaho and talk to Lavana. Hi, Lavana.
Hello. I have a question about, I'm confused about when the New Covenant begins. It seems to me like that it would be when the Holy Spirit comes for everything to be complete and the New Covenant to start. If you look at John 16:7, and Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, which would be the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." So he told the apostles to wait. They did not, at that time until Pentecost, they did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit.
No, they didn't, Lavana, but let me jump in, and we just have to go back to what the writer of Hebrews said concerning a will, that it doesn't go into effect until the one who made it died. So when Jesus died, that made effective this new covenant. Now, as far as when people started receiving the benefits of this new covenant, we could probably say that that occurred at Pentecost. But as far as that new covenant being ushered in, being ratified, being made effective, that took place at the death of Jesus Christ, according to this passage in Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 16 all the way through 22. So it's the same, Lavana, with you. If you have a will, when you die, then that will is now in effect, and an executor is going to come along and take your words, take that legal document, and start delivering those assets as you've so indicated. But your death is what makes that effective. Now, yeah, when your heirs get that, that's a different story. But when your will went into effect, when your will go into effect is the moment that you die. Well, Lavana, I hope that helps. Thank you so much for your call. Great question.
It is, and it's also why we're so clear and careful to talk about the entire gospel. We're not saved by the death of Jesus. He took care of the sin problem in his death, but we're saved by the life of Jesus, and that salvation is indicated to us the moment we receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So it's an entire transaction, and like you said, when he died and solved the sin problem, the new covenant went into effect, and then over the next few weeks, 50 days, things were put into motion by God himself so that the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And then the Holy Spirit came in different ways over the next several months and a few years
to the different
people groups. And so it started rolling out and rolling out. Thankfully, now today, because all of that happened, as soon as I accept Jesus, I receive the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life and forgiveness, and I am fully engaged in that new covenant.
Yes. And that's the good news of the gospel.
Yeah.
So when did this new covenant go into effect? It went effect on Calvary.
Yes.
When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and he said, "Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit," and he took his last breath. And but when they took him down from the cross, they laid him into a borrowed tomb, and he was dead, and proof of death was right there, and this new covenant had been ratified. Mm-hmm. Now 40 days later, he ascends. He's at the right hand of God the Father. God the Father gives him the Holy Spirit, and then he pours that out on mankind. It is such a beautiful, beautiful picture. But here's the takeaway, and here's what we all need to know as believers in Christ, that we're not in the old covenant. We're in the new covenant. And
absolutely,
if we will get that right, if we will get that straight, the Christian life will fall into place. So from one new covenant believer to another, let's rejoice in what Jesus ushered in through his death, his burial, his resurrection. And that's the story. That is the story. His death, he took away our sins. In burial, he put an end to our old way of life. In resurrection, he made us fully alive in Christ.
Yes.
That's the good news, and that's the good news we celebrate each and every day here on Basic Gospel. Well, thank you so much for joining in today. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Remember that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio, and we certainly need people to partner with us to spread this good news to as many people as possible. Our mantra is we love to tell the story as often as we can to as many people as we can. So come join us, be a part of telling the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people as God leads our way. Well, now for Richard Piper and the whole ministry team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Louisville, Texas. We'll see you again tomorrow at the same time.